Dan Mannigan with you on The Fan. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Hopefully they get this Indians game in. I know it's getting a little shaky right now. Some of you are sitting in the rain. Hopefully you brought your ponchos and all of that good stuff. And hopefully they'll be able to get this guy in, because the last thing we all need is a few more doubleheaders. And we're going to see. Hopefully. I think they will, though. This should clear up. The rain should clear up, and we should be good to go to get this game going after the thrashing that was last night. Carlos Carrasco toes the rubber for the Indians. He's been throwing really well lately, though his claim to fame lately has been the footage of him doing the Adam Simber windup where he was throwing borderline underhand, which was fantastic, made me laugh. And, of course, then we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I asked for this guy because he knows pitching, he's incredibly smart, and then I ask, and he does an entire piece on Trevor Bauer's slider, and so now we have to talk. Eno, what's up, dude?
Hey, thanks for having me.
No worries, man. Thank you for coming on to the show. All right, I got to ask you about the Trevor Bauer piece you just put out with talking to Joey Votto. What did Votto see in this pitch that made it so hard for it to be for it to hit?
Yeah, you know, he watched it on video, and I don't know if he watched, you know, some of Bauer's earlier sliders in the season or from a season's past, but he didn't see a slider that had that much movement. And so when he saw a pitch that was on the outside corner, he thought, this is going to be a straight slider, it's going to be a ball. He said he read it ball all the way. And now Bauer's slider has so much movement that it came over the heart of the plate, and he took strike three.
It is unbelievable, and if you, Eno Saris with us from The Athletic, if you get a chance to read the piece, there are a ton of awesome GIFs in there that show the various angles. What is it about the typical angle that we get on a slider that doesn't allow us to realize how much depth there is to it?
Well, because of the way stadiums are constructed and because of the way that producers think that we want to watch baseball, you mostly get an offset view. If you think about how, when you're watching baseball, you're to the side of the pitcher. It's very rare that you're right behind the pitcher looking at the plate. That's probably because the pitcher might obscure some of the plate, and there's other reasons as well. So when you're off to the side of the pitcher, you're usually off to the right of them, and you'll see that usually off to the left of them, and you'll see a right-hander slider kind of just goes right along with the way you're looking, the angle you're looking at it. It doesn't look very impressive. Lefty sliders, like Andrew Miller's slider, look like they're, you know, a mile long. But righty sliders look less impressive because of the angle of the way that we're looking at the pitcher.
It's really, really cool stuff. You can find it all in Eno's piece. How important has the slider been for Trevor Bauer this season?
I think it really just tied the whole room together. I think the real thing that it's done for him is give him a pitch in between his, you know, high 90s fastball and his 80-mile-an-hour curveball. So it's given him a third velocity band that he can work in, and it's also given him a pitch that's sort of literally between those that, you know, doesn't have the vertical movement of his curve or his fastball, but goes sideways. So there's a lot of, you know, thinking this is a curveball and swinging under it, or thinking it's a fastball and getting jammed by it.
So what I'm hearing, all right, so the slider is the rug, so that must mean that the fastball is the White Russian, and it also must mean that the curveball then fits the bathrobe, right? That's kind of how we're doing this?
Well, the curveball is the Mickey got slipped into his drink.
There you go. That's the way to do it. Eno Saris from The Athletic joining us, MLB writer. What a freaking great movie. Oh, my God. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole, or else we'll never get back to baseball. So I have to put you on the spot. I've got two really hard questions for you. Do you want question A first or question B?
Let's go B.
Okay.
Why not?
We're already on Trevor Bauer, so we'll stick to that. What are the odds that Trevor Bauer walks out with the Cy Young this year?
Oh. You know, it's going to be funny because he's going to be up against his college teammate, Garrett Cole, probably. Justin Verlander is going to be in the conversation. You know, Chris Sale, depending on, you know, how long he misses, is probably the favorite. So I'll give him 15 to 20% odds, which is probably way better than anybody would have given him coming into the season.
You're absolutely right. And it was so bizarre coming in because everybody went, okay, Corey Kluber is going to go back out there. He's going to look like Kluber again. He's going to start throwing Maddox's left and right, and we're all going to enjoy every little bit of it. And then all of a sudden, here comes Bauer with the mix of this slider, being able to locate that fastball, and just being so good at not giving up home runs. It just really has completed everything with him, and he's become the ace that everybody thought he could when he was drafted so high in the draft.
Yeah, I think a real big part has been throwing the breaking balls a lot more. Having the two breaking balls has allowed him to push the breaking ball percentage to, you know, almost 50-60%. Those breaking balls are not hit for homers as much. Curveballs are not hit for homers like fastballs are. So he's really playing with them, trying to hunt fastball, and he's giving them a lot of breaking balls.
Eno Saris with The Athletic joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, so then you asked B, so here's question A. How surprised are you with how good Jose Ramirez has been this year?
I thought he was probably a top 10 player, so I've been really high on him.
Oh, wow, you did. Well done.
He's just, you know, a guy who does everything. And that's the kind of, you know, I came from Fangraphs, and at Fangraphs we have Wins Above Replacement. It has its flaws. I'm not here to tell you it's perfect. But one thing that I like about it is it tries to sum up all the different facets of the game that you can they can help in. So base running, defense, offense, you know, all sorts of different, you know, all sorts of different ways. We sum it all up. And Jose Ramirez already last year was, you know, a top 10, top 20 type player because he plays really good third base defense and second base. You know, he's a good base runner, and, you know, he does all the things that you need him to do. This year he's taken more of a step forward with the power department than I thought. And so I will admit that I'm surprised that now he's probably the second best player in baseball. But I will say that that every year he's improved his fly ball rate. And so you've seen these incremental improvements. And so it's not like it came out of nowhere. It's been a gradual slow burn where he came in at sort of a 10-homer level, and he just sort of added to that. And it's really remarkable to see where he is now.
It really is. And the fact that you can hit him second, hit him third in the lineup with Francisco Lindor ahead of him and Michael Brantley, I mean, it's the top of that lineup is just, it's, you can't get around to anybody. It's got so many teeth. It's unbelievable. The problem has turned into the bottom of that lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, everything that you can say that nicely about the top of the lineup, it kind of it goes away at the bottom of the lineup. You know, the top of the lineup, they have the best hit, maybe the best hit tools, 1-2-3 in baseball, where they're not striking out. They can put Goodwood on the ball and put it in everywhere in the park. And that's sort of what's missing at the bottom of the lineup. There's a lot of strikeouts. Their depth has really been tested, you know, this year in the outfield, a lot of injuries, you know, some poor play. And just generally, I don't think they can necessarily afford to be as deep as some other teams. So that's where you might see some of the salary limits kind of coming in. But you'd think that they'd go out and get someone. There still are a few bats available in the waiver period, so maybe we'll see them go get a bat here in August.
Well, that's funny because there's the next thing I was going to ask you is right field has kind of been the black hole all season. They're getting a little bit of a push from Brandon Guyer, who seems to finally be waking up. But is there somebody out there on the market, on the waiver market, that you would target to come plug into right field?
I wouldn't be surprised if they already had a trade in place and it got mixed. Adam Jones, I think, is the obvious, easy to acquire. The Baltimore Orioles are selling. Adam Jones can play right field, and he can be useful to them deep in that lineup. And maybe Adam Jones said no, or maybe it was a different team that he said no to. So maybe they can convince him that it's only a month and that he can help them make the playoffs and you know, maybe that'll happen. Otherwise, there's not a super obvious outfielder out there, I don't think.
Adam Jones, if you're listening, the food around here is excellent. Winter really isn't all that bad. You kind of get used to it. Fall is beautiful, though. You can't beat fall in Cleveland, and if you come here, you're going to enjoy it. So Eno Saris joining us from The Athletic. So this bullpen now, which has completely been fortified with Brad Hand and Adam Simber adding into the Cody Allen, and now you're getting Andrew Miller back. Does this bullpen stack up with the Yankees? Is it good enough to go toe-to-toe with them, or do they still need to go out and maybe make one more move at the waiver deadline to just fortify it, just because it's the Yankees, and when in doubt, just go get Zach Britton. Why not? We can get him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's been most surprising to me about the Indians is how bad the bullpen was. It really was bottom three bullpen for the first 3-4 months of the season. I couldn't believe that, but I guess Andrew Miller's been hurt, and Cody Allen can't do it all himself. So I think the Brad Hand acquisition was a big deal. If you look over the last week to 14 days, they've slowly risen up into the top 10 of bullpens. I think it's good enough. And in the postseason, you kind of don't need to worry about your eighth reliever as much because they won't pitch. So if you're talking about, do I need to win a game today, and can I go with Simber being my worst pitcher? I think I do it. I'm a little worried that command, especially to inside to lefties, has been the biggest part of Simber's breakout as a reliever. And his command has not been there in Cleveland so far, but maybe just needs to get used to the mound or whatever it is, and maybe he'll get it going. Otherwise, the top four are there with everybody.
Yeah, when your mechanics are that kind of different, you're pointing your toe out to center field and that stuff. It definitely takes you a little bit to get used to a newer mound and a newer field and all that kind of stuff. I can understand why he's having a little bit of issues. I just hope he goes back to being the guy who just was missing barrels left and right and making guys look silly.
I mean, he could be a really good addition, particularly because of his ground ball rate. And the person he's studied the most, and who Cleveland fans have seen a lot of, is Darren O'Day. He has been trying to learn as much from Darren O'Day as possible. I did an interview with Darren O'Day recently that Adam told me he'd read, and he was studying up on how to pitch up and high, up and inside to lefties, how to make the most out of his approach against lefties. So if he can be Darren O'Day when he's right, and if they just added Darren O'Day, y'all know how good Darren O'Day is.
Oh, he's a beast. He's an absolute beast when he's right. All right, last question for you, and it's the most important one. What's the best beer you've had in the last week?
The best beer I've had in the last week. I was in Chicago, and I had a little hazy IPA there from Hubbard Cave.
Okay,
that was really good. But Chicago beer is great. Cleveland beer is really good. I really enjoy White Kettle.
White Raja out of the Brew Kettle.
That's my
favorite IPA. If I had to pick one, that's my favorite.
Yeah, so there's a good, great team there. All-Star Games there next year. I will definitely be coming and checking out the beer scene there.
Well, if you get a chance, Fethead's Headhunter is up there as well. That's a really nice one if you're looking. So,
yeah.
Enosaurus from The Athletic, thank you so much for joining me, man. Go roll for me.
Right.
We'll talk from there. Take it easy, man.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Enosaurus from The Athletic there to break down Trevor Bauer's slider. All sorts of good stuff about Adam Simber in there as well. If you get a chance, you can read his piece right off at The Athletic. It's all about Joey Votto breaking down what it's like to see that slider and seeing it from the angle of a guy who is arguably the best hitter in baseball. It's really cool stuff. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back a little bit on the AL Cy Young and the AL MVP. Just got a little bit more crowded than we all thought here on 92.3 The Fan.